Hey, everybody. It's not happy enough. Hey, guys. Sounds too fake.
Hi, everyone.
We had some trouble today. We're really disappointed about it. We're trying not to be emo about it.
We had some technical difficulties, but we made it back up.
We made a really great episode.
We're really proud of it.
We're really proud of it. We had a great time talking about all the new promotional material, about Daenerys, about Dario, and we finished and we had some technical difficulties.
Our recording failed, but luckily we had a backup phone recording, so the episode is not lost.
The episode's not lost, but we just wanted to jump on before you guys listened to the backup recording because it's not really up to what we usually do because it's not on our microphones and it's on a cell phone. But we still were proud of the episode. We had a really good time recording it and we wanted to put it out there anyway. And so hopefully you guys will still enjoy
what we got. Seven.
I don't remember what yours said.
Do you believe in prophecy? What about in the context of Quaithe and Daenerys?
Of A Song of Ice and Fire?
Do you believe everything that Quaithe has said to Daenerys up until this point?
No.
Thank you for just joining us. Hannah and I are...
So you don't want your horoscope?
We're in the middle of an existential conversation about what might happen to us based on what was happening when we were born.
Yeah, our horoscopes.
Are our lives decided by the night sky?
Welcome back to our podcast.
Welcome back to our podcast. The final season of Game of Thrones approaches.
We have some new news. Some new news.
What is the new news?
The new news is all of the photos that were released on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
And the Arya clip.
20 new final season character photos released on Twitter. A couple seconds of Drogon flying over the Unsullied. The tunnel of the Unsullied. That column where the, I think it was hashtag for the throne, or maybe it was the HBO logo. Something was perfectly nestled symmetrically between them and it was very pleasing.
Yeah.
It was like a snippet of a satisfying video from YouTube. It was like, oh, I hope the final season has really delicate warfare.
I hope the final season has writing in the middle of the photos. LOL. That doesn't make any sense. it was good. What did you think about all this? So we're at this point, we don't have a trailer yet, but we do have a little bit. We're, 6 weeks out?
How disappointed are you that there's no trailer? Because I know that you've taken the social media accounts rogue sometimes, and you're like, yeah, but there's no trailer. And I'm like...
I did that once.
Are you sure you didn't do it twice? I feel like...
I probably did it twice.
I feel like you've... When I talk to you about it, you're way less aggressive about being disappointed about not having a trailer, but then I actually like pay attention and ask you like, hey, how do you feel about, and you're like, I wish that there was that we had more to see this
I point. Do wish that there was a trailer.
Yeah.
And I think that some people are totally fine in the camp of us not having a trailer. We had this conversation and you're the kind of person who doesn't really care about trailers in general about stuff.
If overall, I really like something, like we talked about this before when The Force Awakens was announced, the new Star Wars movie of the new trilogy. I didn't watch any of the trailers. And the first time I'd done that, and it was because I grew up loving Star Wars. And I was like, I want to try to see what that's like.
For the first time.
Right. And I didn't even know who was the main character in that. I didn't know what was going on. Obviously, that can't happen for the final season now. But
and, you know, I get this idea of not wanting to be, quote unquote, spoiled for anything. Or you want to save every bit of information for the final season. We've only got one season left. Let's soak it all up while it's on the screen. But for me, I just feel like we're missing some of the hype and the buildup. It's been so long since the last season aired. And so while I'm excited to look at new photos and catch these little clips as they come randomly, I just feel like the buildup isn't necessarily hitting it for me because there's not a trailer to think about. You know, I feel just like kind of lost a little bit. You know what I mean? So I would much prefer if we had something to kind of anchor us to what we're supposed to expect. And then there's just like the selfish reason of how much fun we have when we're analyzing and picking the trailers apart and everybody has lots of different questions.
That was that funny YouTube video we were looking at earlier, that guy who I'm not sure that guy was with that jacket, but said something about... maybe the reason was I'm botching this completely, but it sounded like just an offhand comment, but it made me think more about the potential of being more secretive, not only because of the way that it makes people feel, but also to sort of limit the kind of analysis that maybe they'd be able to draw way too many conclusions by the kind of things that are on
the
screen.
It's way too late for that kind of thing. Like, we are way too deep into drawing conclusions, like being way too over the top.
You showed me that 16-minute video, and the thumbnail was like a circle. Someone had circled a detail on Arya's outfit on that shot where she was potentially looking at Drogon.
Mm-hmm.
Drogon or Gendry. I think that right now is where the fan community is.
Right.
What could potentially Arya be looking at in that scene? Discuss.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. We don't see much of the scene at all. We don't see anything, really. And I think that it would totally be like HBO to cut the trailer or cut the snippets in a way that make us believe one thing is happening when in reality something completely different is happening. I think that's probably more likely than us seeing one continuous scene.
This is such
an something like that.
Interesting time for television and for peak TV and for a company like HBO. Their CEO, Richard Plepler, who's been with the company since the 90s, is stepping down.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone that I think has been integral in a lot of the direction the company has taken. And I think a lot of what we've talked about that we like about HBO, or something that I noticed when I was a kid, my parents were watching The Sopranos, is that they always kind of, they just sort of took the art form with what they were doing and sort of the coolness surrounding it a little seriously. And I think that that's why they were looking for comedy specials that had a certain kind of cinematography early on, and like TV shows that started to have more of a cinematic look early on were like really successful for them. And I always just assumed because they had movies and then when they had TV shows that looked and felt a certain way that they were just sort of apart from everyone else. And I think that this guy had a lot to do with that. And now at this era of Game of Thrones ending, this person is also stepping down from.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I wonder what the future for HBO will be when, you know, I think it seemed kind of clear that GOT was being used to plant some looks in, some of their latest shows by putting these clips interwoven so much into the Sunday night experience.
They would be like dumb not to do
season,
that.
Season three. Of course, yeah. But like you said, what do you think about the scale of how they're sort of presenting, you know, this is the final season of Game of Thrones.
Right.
What do you think about the scale of how they're approaching the final season? We're 6 weeks out now. I mean, I guess we don't have to compare it to the seasons in the past.
It's a different ballgame.
I mean, it's the first time we're going to see something like Game of Thrones. I think maybe Breaking Bad or Mad Men was like the closest example of a really high profile series reaching its dramatic conclusion. And I think that Mad Men, if you remember, AMC split it into two seasons. So that was kind of like, that's kind of sort of what they did here, where we had that strange or the abnormally long wait.
Right.
So I think that maybe that was similar. But you know how they kind of like diffuse some of the steam or maybe some of the explosive like celebration it could have had?
Yeah, and that's interesting to me because we were talking about this yesterday. We're looking at all of this stuff that we've gotten so far. They released those cute little hashtags this week.
Oh yeah, all the emojis.
On Twitter.
Yeah,
with the emojis, which are super cute and super fun. We've got these photos. It kind of reminds me of a little bit when Deathly Hallows was part two was released. And remember how all of the promotional material didn't say Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows part two. It said it all ends here.
Oh yeah.
So it was like very meta
when
it came to. And so I feel like they're trying to use this opportunity to be a little bit more meta in the way that they're presenting us with this final season. Like, there's nothing that they need to say that can't already be said. Everyone's going to be excited about it anyway.
Night King on the throne says enough.
Yeah, you know, which I think is an interesting approach, and I'm all for them trying something different and creative to try to build the hype. I just feel like it may be too broad, and I would love to see, I mean, I'm not even asking for like a normal trailer. I would just love to see something for us to actually be able to have a discussion about. Because while I think that Arya's scene is really interesting, those photos are really cool with people like Melisandre on the throne, and Sansa looks amazing in her little battle outfit.
Can we just talk about Sandra Clegane already?
Sandra Clegane.
For the love of God.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's interesting. And the Dany and Sansa interaction at Winterfell.
Here.
All of that is really interesting, but I feel like it doesn't lend itself to a lot of discussion that we haven't already been having for the last 2 years about what happened in the last season. So,
oh, I see what you're saying. So it would be helpful right now for you if they started the experience a little earlier and like gave us something different to chew on leading up to.
Well, I just feel like there's still not much to talk about, in my opinion. And
other than the same old stuff, you know,
that we've been talking about.
Right.
So, like I said, I'm excited, and you know, I think like people are talking about how the way John's sitting very much parallels Ned and the original promotional material, and I think that that's really neat.
So that means that Ellen Payne's going to chop his head off.
Probably.
No.
No spoilers. No. But so I don't know if you feel differently, but I really want some footage. I really want something to get excited about.
I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. I've never really analyzed that sort of experience. I think that would be the kind of thing that would be fun to do before the final season. Like give people that enjoy the show in a certain way more of that, because it's the last season that they're going to have.
Right. And so all those pre-season rituals that we've come to love so much, we're not getting them yet. So, I don't know. There's still time. And
we kind of are, though. 6 weeks out, we've got all these photos. Look at your arm. Look at that.
I know. I mean, they're cool photos, and they look extremely moody, and I'm going to definitely change one as my phone background.
I saw a lot of people do that on Twitter.
Yeah, they're good.
They, like, came out with the 4K versions that you can put as a desktop background for your computer. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
It is pretty cool.
It is. I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm just saying.
But, you know.
It's 6 weeks out, and I would like to see a little bit more. What are we supposed to use those hashtags for?
Like, did you see what Emmett tweeted yesterday?
No.
He just tweeted hashtag like Euron and something like this is like the something about like defining his life. I forget what it was.
Yeah, that's funny.
So funny. I live for moments like that. It's just like, this is someone that I met through this story, basically through my interest in this character and my looking around and finding things about this character, and we bonded on that initially, and now there's a hashtag that has a character. It's just it all came together.
It's awesome.
That's cool.
It is very cool, and I think that's probably the other thing, is that I'm just already so nostalgic for all the fun stuff that we shared.
My life is complete. Hashtag you're on. My life is complete.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just nostalgic for like the fun times we've shared as a community with this show. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's also another thing of like, I want to soak up every big moment. It's like, was the last time we got a trailer the last time we were ever going to get a trailer? And I didn't even know.
Wow.
You know? So.
Wow.
Anyway. Tweet us if you're feeling the same way, or if you feel like you're cool with not having a trailer, which I know that there's a campaign going around right now. So.
Oh, yeah. The no trailer 2019.
Yeah. So.
That's really funny.
Let us know what you think.
To everyone talking about hashtag the hound on Twitter, I'm with you.
I salute you.
Yeah. You know, I think it should be Sandor Clegane as well. I know that's like long and less interesting to people, but
I thought you said Sandor Clegane was Azor Ahai.
Well, he could be Azor Ahai.
And
I'm saying he came back. They gave us the whole broken man deal in the show. Like, we went there completely. Anyway, it was pretty cool to see the emojis, like Tyrion Lannister's face blown up on the side of this wall in the city, and I was like, we're living in the future right now.
That's what I'm saying. It's cool. I want to like use those hashtags and those cute emojis to tweet about something
that
we haven't already been talking about. Well, yeah.
That's a good point. Okay, so it comes back to that then.
I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel.
I'm with you. Arya saw something that was really interesting to her. She knows something that we don't know.
She knows what is up.
So 20 photos, Gendry's not included. RP Gendry. Right?
I'm rioting. Maybe like the next set will just be a photo of him. That's like the next big release is like.
Does this mean he doesn't end up on the throne? Because some people think that Gendry might end up on the throne.
Hashtag confirmed.
We're going to have an episode before. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we've got some time, but we still have chapters to discuss. We're not giving up on chapters just yet.
Should we talk about our chapter today?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have any other final thoughts before we move on to what we've been doing?
I'm excited for the final season to be here. I think it's going to be...
I'm so excited.
All that we're talking about, I think, is definitely going to happen within the stretch of those 6 episodes. We're all going to have a really fun time.
Yeah.
And I think that they've had a lot of time to plan and think of some really fun and interesting situations to put us all through.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool.
It's going to be a blast. Yeah. And yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really, I can't believe it's so soon, honestly. I'm kind of in denial a little bit. It's already March.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Daenerys 7.
We've got a big chapter to talk about today.
The Feast with Dragons continues. I partially read some of this chapter on a boat today.
Yeah, for real. Mm-hmm. Which I keep laughing about, even though it's really not that funny. We get this really interesting chapter with Daenerys on her wedding day. We get a lot of Dario in this chapter. We get our cool friend, the frog, Quentin, is here. We get Hisdar. We get some old lore with Aerys Targaryen. Mm-hmm. It's a really jam-packed chapter. And I really, really enjoyed it.
I did too. The spar between when Dario was in the throne room and they mm-hmm. were receiving their Westerosi guest.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeesh.
I love how we, as we build up to that moment, we get everything. We get Dario from Dany's perspective, and as she's missing him already and they only have a few nights left together before mm-hmm. she gets married, I feel like it was really cool to just get an overload of him and their crazy relationship before everything that happens.
Yeah.
The Westerosi guests, as you called them. I thought that was a really good way to lead up to that reveal. I feel like in this chapter, some people can be pretty critical. I could see, well, let me back up. I'm curious what you think mm-hmm. about, especially in this first half of this chapter, Daenerys and her relationship with Dario. We really see how it operates and like what she really feels and how she feels he feels and how she knows that he, or she guesses that he wouldn't be into her if she wasn't the queen and mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. I think that some people can use these and see Daenerys in a bad light because of what she's doing with Dario and all the situation.
In what way?
That she is young and she's making a stupid decision and he's like this bad boy that mm-hmm. she's into even though she knows she's not supposed to be, and he's not really real and he's just trying to use her mm-hmm. and all these different kinds of things. She looks naive, and if she's acting in this way, is she fit to rule a kingdom? And I just was curious if you felt like how you felt about her actions, or if, you know, I don't know, in these first couple pages.
Yeah, no, she's definitely aware of what's going on, but that's kind of the deal with Daenerys, right? She's just really smart and able to kind of navigate the situations that she's in. She's been able to get out of so much danger. Think about what it was like to approach the gates of Carth and to be told no, and to lay your eyes upon the splendor of the greatest city in the world, yeah. Right? And this is book two, and we're just there with all of her friends. And we had just spent all of that time trekking through the Red Waste. Jorah's there, so I guess everything's a little bit all right. He's not checking his arm for Grayscale
yet. Jorah's there, period.
And we're meeting all these strange people, and she's still able to sort of hold her own. And she was dealing with another kind of struggle in Carth than she is now in Meereen, obviously.
Definitely.
When we hear about her enemies at the gates, right? Mm-hmm. Think about how that could be applied to someone like Hot Pie, or someone living around where someone like Hot Pie would be from. And that trouble in their life is still the same thing, but it's manifest right. in a different way. They've got trouble at their gates, right? They've got a overdue court, you know, with the claims that are being backed up and backed up and backed up. But it's not the same thing. With Dany, it's quite literally enemies at her gates.
Right.
Building things outside, washing up on the, you know, trying to use the water that's around their capital to, like, for an advantage. Like, all of the really grown-up aspects of being alive and survival are all, she's plugged into all of it.
Yeah.
And her people are all plugged into all of it. And the what they're dealing with is quite literally, like, the life and death of many people. And I love that part at the end of the chapter when we very sort of like non-self-aware like are reminded about the Bloody Flux mm-hmm. and how it was how it could have potentially gotten to one of a Khalaz Galari's sister,
right?
And who wouldn't be at the wedding or attending who would normally be attending the wedding, mm-hmm. but sort of without acknowledge to Daenerys is not in attendance, and her mind immediately goes to,
right,
oh, well, it could be this because all these people are dying. But yeah, that's the first time in the chapter that we get there. That's something that we remember from a past conversation in a past chapter with Daenerys. But, you know, when you're in the mind of someone who when she takes a break, it's out on the terrace of the Great Pyramid, even something so important as that wouldn't be at the top of her mind, you know, because like I said, when she's thinking about enemies at her gates or people building trebuchets to launch stuff at the walls of her city, it's not, there's no imagery there. It's quite literally happening. Mm-hmm. And so it's really tough for me to say whether or not she's, like, to judge her harshly, like, you know what I mean? To judge her character harshly,
right,
in those moments with Dario, it's difficult for me to do that because of all those other things going on. It's,
right,
it's like the context really matters, and maybe it shouldn't, because her base level is her, like, her reality is her base level. So we judge her based on however she operates within her reality, but still, it's just, there's a lot of things. And then now all of a sudden Quentin's going to show up with his retinue, and
right,
you know, how can you not laugh? It's
right,
just like when you're, I'm getting carried through the city in this litter I didn't want to be in. And
yeah,
of course, like,
about to get married to a man I don't want to marry.
Exactly. And he
yeah,
pulls up and they're like, hey.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's just like,
seeing you here.
Right. And she's just like, oh my God, this is my life. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is just nuts.
It's crazy. And I think that's so, a major theme of this chapter is Daenerys being able to rule and be a ruler and do right by herself and her people and also be true to herself. And it, as she's thinking about how she would give, she thinks, I'd give up my crown if he asked me, Danny thought. He had not asked and he never would. Like, she would get rid of all of this if she could just be with Dario for the rest of her life and they could continue to just have their sweet little time together. And as you're saying, while all this very real stuff is happening right outside of her gate. And so it's like you can see the type of power she has and also how real of a person she is.
Mm-hmm.
And realize the weight of those decisions that she has to make every single day about people like Hizdahr and all these randos that are just around her that she doesn't really necessarily know what their intentions are or how they're going to treat her or if what she's doing is actually going to save her city that she claims to care so much about. And I think that she is genuinely trying to do her best while making some very interesting decisions along the way.
That's interesting. That's probably where a lot of folks draw criticism of Daenerys when you think about all of those people that do live in the city and you think about the people that are being not only affected by the sickness and the blood flux, but just the sort of geopolitical questions and problems that are being raised there.
Big time. And that's like the whole issue when you look at the Meereenese Knot in general and what she's doing here in Meereen. That's like the whole problem is that she's here. She's not fixing anything at all. I mean, she has these grand lofty ideas about what she wants to do, but it's just a stepping stone for her. But there's real people who live here and who are dying here and who are being affected by all of her decisions. And, you know, she's trying to marry Hizdahr. She's trying to do the right thing, bring peace to the city. But it's interesting to me. So Quentin shows up and it's like, hey, do you want to get married kind of thing?
Yeah.
We can get into that a little bit.
I traveled across the whole planet for this.
Let's get married.
It's all leading to this moment.
She has this opportunity to say, sure, let's head to Westeros kind of thing. Here's an out.
Selmy's like, ah, oh, I know Westeros. He's like, you know, this is a good offer.
Yeah, here's an out.
He's like, you know, Dorne.
That she's continuing to dig herself into, and she kind of chuckles, you know, and then she continues forward. So she's in this, she put herself in this position, and it's very easy to see how, as she's up here in her tower with a guy like Dario and real people are dying outside, it's complicated and it makes it difficult. I personally enjoyed the chapter because I feel like even as she, so I feel like I'm talking in circles, but even as she's gazing down on this city that she says will never be her home, she's trying to fix it. It's just a very interesting, complicated
question. Why she's trying to fix it?
Yeah, issue of this realization of I don't really belong here. Okay, well then, what are you doing here, other than taking like a depressed nap on the grass because you're lovesick? It's like been there, but anyway, it's a very I just all of this complicated stuff is happening in a very interesting way.
Yeah,
through some really interesting characters. That's So surface
good,
level.
Good job, Jordan.
Yeah, good job writing a book. But you know what I'm trying to
a
say?
A lot of people, or maybe not a lot of people, but I guess like the overall gist, or just, I don't know where people, where we get the feelings of like what the populace think about things. But
it read the internet a lot.
I get that, that's what I'm saying, but I've read lots of different things over the years with Song by Safaris. We've been doing the podcast. So it's like from a lot of different sources, the idea seems to be that the Miranese knot could be more enjoyable.
You know, yeah, for sure.
Is that a thing? Or am I just
I think
some early remarks I heard from like three people?
Well, because I think that sometimes it gets a little bit tedious. The politics of it all can get pretty tedious.
Right, but get inside of the space of a chapter like this that I feel like not enough people mention.
When we
talk about Daenerys Targaryen, not enough people are mentioning this very real inside of, at least for a few days, where her head was.
Yeah.
And where her head was in the middle of such an important moment of uniting and potential strategizing with people, like she's marrying Hisdar. You know, is she thinking about Daario and applying most of her attention to this situation with romance specifically because it's a way to deal with what she's putting herself through with Hisdar and with how it's all blowing up in general? Mm-hmm. Or is it the response, like, or is this what she wants to think about? And
she's a teen.
I get that, but you know, I guess it really matters when we're thinking about Daenerys Targaryen, though. When it's later on at the end of this read through, and she's in a field, and she's going through historical evidence, basically, and she's basically having a psychedelic journey,
mm-hmm.
and she's questioning and learning, and all, there's so much fate and grandeur attached to this person and what she might potentially mean for everyone in this story. And yet, you know, is this her real self?
I think that makes it even more interesting.
It does,
actually,
right?
We see it with like Jon Snow and Tyrion Lannister. I don't know why I'm saying the last
Lannister.
Name.
I know that guy.
We see it with Jon and with Tyrion and all of these characters that are really on these quests that are so much larger than themselves, and yet they're still just people who have the same desires and dreams and hopes. She's at this point where she's riding up to get married and she's looking around for Daario, thinking about the stories that
if he really loved
kid.
Me, he would be here to slay Hisdar.
Right. Like all of the, as she was a girl and she read these stories and he would arrive and save her and carry her away. She can't help but think about that. She's on her way to make this big political alliance and with this marriage. So it's, I like that. I like these moments with her, regardless of if you think that Daario is the right person to place her affections towards, because I feel like it just adds more weight to every decision that she makes. And I think it's just interesting as we think about her meeting up with Jon, as we think about her spending time with people like Tyrion, who are these very real people with these very real hearts that are in these very intense situations, what types of conversations that they can have as people who care about each other and also people who are about to save the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, does anyone think that Daario is like the right choice for her? Are there very serious Daenerys Daario shippers out there?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I can't help but be like, I don't know.
Dude, he was
sometimes
mad.
I get into it. He's so angry.
He was mad. I was just thinking like what it must have been like. He was like, wait a second. These, not only these new people, but these new guys are coming in here and they're offering Daenerys like information that I can't give her. They're talking about
stuff
about
to,
that I know
he's about to lose
about.
Her and like
yeah.
this whole thing.
Oh yeah.
He like they like yeah.
He's oh, this is your gift.
Yeah.
He's like, what is this? Parchment? Oh god.
Wow, okay. We
god.
Have to talk about all of this. So yeah, Daario tells Daenerys that she needs to hold court because he has a present for her. Or he has somebody who has a present for her. And so she's like, okay, so she like sits in front of all those people and does her whole thing. And we get her gift, which is people. Daario presents him as his new Stormcrows from Westeros. And it turns out that once they clear the hall and they're by themselves, that it is Quentin Martell with a piece of paper that is a secret pact that was made in Braavos when Dany was a child, that her brother was going to marry Martell.
Arianne.
And it was this big deal. And Quentin has traveled all this way in hopes that Daenerys will take this and accept his hand in marriage and the Grand Dornish plan can continue.
Hell yeah, happily ever after.
You know? And
the Sea Lord of Braavos was there to see this to this damn pack. Sorry. I just thought it was epic. Like, what an epic moment.
It is, though.
He's the Sea Lord, for God's sake.
Well, especially with these characters of old.
Yeah, Oberyn Martell signs. It's like, oh, this means so much more now because the Red Viper was involved. Perfect.
So he hands him this, and then she kind of chuckles a little bit to herself.
It's so much more than a chuckle.
It is. It is. I just feel like this moment is so tragic.
Oh, boy.
And we're just continuing down the tragic line of Quentin Martell and everything that he's having to deal with. But it comes all this way, and I mean,
Can I read it?
Oh, please. Please, please.
What were you going to say, though?
I was going to say that this is a pretty big deal, what he's giving to her.
Oh, yeah. This whole moment's crazy.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Read it.
Okay, well, there's a few. It happens in a few sequences, because it starts here, and then she later tells them to sort of take a break, and then they meet up later, and when she walks up to see them as they're, I think it's heading to the wedding, yeah. Which obviously separated
from kind of time, like a last more time to Dario.
Yeah, see, but the last ditch effort was he's standing there with Barristan, right? Yeah. And so Barristan's been working this whole time that Dany's been with Dario for like her last moments, riding him so exquisitely that his wound is bleeding again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like insanity. I encourage you all to read it in great detail. He's there like, all right, now you're all right. Remember everything we talked about?
Yeah. Go get the tiger.
You got it.
Coach Taylor.
And he's like,
style.
He turns around like, well, Daenerys. Oh, it's so sad.
It is.
Anyway, so it happens in a few movements. So that's where the hammer falls. That's where the language was really final. Like, I read a paragraph where I felt like George R. R. Martin, it was like, it involved four or five different characters or maybe four or five different emotions. I can't remember. But I remember it had like a lot of pieces and it was like, I could see all the patience that led to him writing that paragraph. It involved these people. It was like, and blah did this, and then blah did this, and then blah happened. And it was like, oh, so this is the truth of that scenario.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see it play out. And it didn't happen in the courtroom. It happened that last ditch effort. You know what I mean? Which is so real. It would happen like that.
For sure.
Especially if they stayed on as guests. Like
for
they
sure.
They would try to say something right before.
Well, and for how big of this moment is for not only Quentin, but Dorne in general.
You don't really get that out of fantasy novels. You know what I mean? Like they would leave it. I know that you've been reading Brandon Sanderson recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what do they have like throne rooms and shit?
For sure.
Okay. So would they leave the drama to unfold in the throne scene in that series?
Yeah. Yeah.
This didn't.
Right.
It wasn't in the throne. It was later. It was later when they were just getting on a horse. And she's like tapping him on the shoulder. And it like sort of reflects the affection and the intimacy of being in her bedchamber. It's like we're not only with Daenerys when she's on that epic ride down the street in her litter. And we're not like sort of Cersei is in some cases, seeing the faces of the small folk and reacting to that. We're like there in that sort of connected tissue moment to even think about how annoying it is to ride in the litter in the first place.
Yeah.
And we get like those moments with Tyrion a lot, you know, it's sort of very similar. I think they have like similar ways they think about stuff.
Yeah.
So George is like showing us how she feels in that particular situation while also giving us a very real, that paragraph I was talking about, I could find it because we've been talking about it now for 4 minutes, but it happened not in the throne room, you know? The sort of the ends of the, like the last moment of Quentin Martell's potential to marry Daenerys it was not shunted in an epic fashion.
And not just Quentin Martell's attempt to marry Daenerys, but the whole
Dornish plot.
Like everything that Doran has been working towards for years and years and years and years and years, it kind of just.
She was like, oh.
She hands him a piece of paper and he's been working on it. You know, how long has it been? I don't know. It's wild to me.
They came with six guys and there's only three left.
It's wild to me that
people have died.
This is the most important piece in that whole supposedly plan to take over the world.
Yeah.
And she just it's a piece of paper that she sees as just a piece of paper.
It's less important than one of the 14 times she has sex with Daria last night.
Yes. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, like she's in a whole different atmosphere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yet he's still like, you know, he's still his atmosphere or whatever it is, he's still regarded as a Prince of Dorne. He still matters in a big way.
For sure.
But just not at all to her.
It's just, and I just, you know.
Not even a little bit.
As we will then unfold with his character as he attempts to just in some sort of way salvage something. And it continues to just end in this very tragic way. I just can't believe that it just all comes down to this old piece of paper that is dismissed as she continues on.
If only it could have been Garrus' tall drink of drink water.
Oh my gosh.
The handsome one.
She literally says, a pity he's the prince, not the one with the wide shoulders and the sandy hair.
Right? He sounds so handsome. You know, it's only recently I found out that people like wide shoulders. I didn't understand. But, like, I read all of these, like, descriptions that J.K. Rowling put, like, on her characters, and I'm like, oh, she wants this guy to be thought of as sexually alluring. Yeah. I get it now.
I see what you're doing there.
Yep. I don't know if that's something to be proud of, but that's what it is. I'm going to go ahead and read this thing now.
Please.
Prince Doran, Your Grace, I have the honor to be Quentin Martell, a Prince of Dorne and your most leal subject. Imagine that he put on his most courtliest, like, it's all led to this.
Yeah.
The next line is, Dany laughed.
I might come back to bite her. Keep going.
The Dornish prince flushed red. Also, trying to read after having an empty stomach and two large coffees.
Not really doing it
this
for you.
This is a gambit. This is tough, yeah. Should have gotten those sous vide egg bites. Shout out sous vide egg bites. The Dornish prince flushed red, whilst her own court and counselors gave her puzzled looks. Radiance? Said Ska Shefate in the Giscari tongue. Why do you laugh? They call him Frog, she said, and we have just learned why. In the Seven Kingdoms, there are children's tales of frogs who turn into enchanted princes when kissed by their true love. Smiling at the Dornish knight, she switched back to the common tongue. Tell me, Prince Quentin, are you enchanted?
Here's the great line.
No, Your Grace. I feared as much. And this is in her, this is italicized. Neither enchanted nor enchanting, alas. A pity he's the prince and not the one with the wide shoulders and the sandy hair. Back to her talking out loud. You've come for a kiss, however. You mean to marry me. Is that the way of it? The gift you bring me is your own sweet self. Instead of Viserys and sister, you and I must seal this pact if I want Dorne. My father hoped that you might find me acceptable.
And then here comes Daario.
Daario
not helping the situation.
Daario gave a scornful laugh. I say you are a pup.
The queen needs a man beside her.
The queen needs a man beside her, not a mewling boy. You are no fit husband for a woman such as her. When you lick your lips, do you still taste your mother's milk?
Yikes.
Sir Garrus Drinkwater darkened at his words. Mind your tongue, sellsword. You are speaking to a prince of Dorne, he says, and to his wet nurse, I am thinking. Daario brushed his thumbs across the sword hilt, his sword hilts, and smiled dangerously.
I think that the most interesting piece of all of this is when Dany asks him if he's enchanted, and he says no. He's not. He's just a guy with a piece of paper, and his whole family's life sort of rests in his hands. And it all comes down to with Daario, who's sitting next to her. She's on her way to her wedding, and her whole situation with him and everything that's happening in Meereen. There's just, it makes for a very interesting, insightful to say.
Poor Quentin for having, well, first off, just poor Quentin. But
shout out.
Poor Quentin for being in that situation where he's just caught up in the momentum of what Daario and Dany are dealing with personally. Yeah. In that room.
Yeah.
How dare he ask for her affection at a moment like this? They've been having such passionate lovemaking
for
this
days.
Whole chapter. Basically, the first half of the chapter are very, very passionate and very intimate, loving descriptions of a strong and scarred Daario and how that makes Daenerys feel. And
yeah.
Then now this. So even to us, it's a bit of an intrusion because we know how she feels about Daario, at least for the moment, and about how she feels about what's happening with his daughter. These are very grown decisions. And you said yourself, you know, she's a teenager. And we know that that age applies differently in A Song of Ice and Fire. We've talked about that a lot.
For sure.
And she's a Targaryen. I'm not sure if that means the same thing as it used to mean Fire and Blood, but right now she's what we believe is a person who can ride dragons. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about all that?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what to talk about next, because then there's a couple other big moments that happened in this chapter, with her conversation with Barristan about her parents. They love each other. And as she learns about Aerys and Tywin and her mother and that knight that she was in love with, and some interesting Targaryen back history that I love sprinkled throughout this. Mm-hmm. We had that dream of her, that man whose lips are blue and bruised.
And his memory was ice cold.
What that could maybe mean. So she's thinking about Quaithe's prophecy or warning about the sun's son, and how that is probably Quentin. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of big...
Sun being the son of Dorne, the sigil.
Yeah, there's just a lot of big, like magical almost types of things swirling on over this chapter.
It almost seems just like, of course it's this way.
Yeah.
Because it's Dany. While so much of it is so real, like we were discussing, so like interpersonal, which kind of brings the enchanted elements out of it, yet we keep going and she's quoting a warning that Quaithe gave her before about some prophecy. Mm-hmm. And we also know, well, just think back to Daenerys' time back in Carth, she thinks about the warlocks in this chapter, like that this could perhaps be part of just a continuation of their efforts to befuddle her plot or to destroy her life.
Right.
Think about what she went through. You know what I mean? In that tower. And all of that's presumably real. Whether she was in a drug state or not, it's presumably real. So it's real, but yet all of these sort of mystical elements are swirling around. And I think it does match the scale of it all. Like, even when she's getting married at the end of the chapter, there's tens of thousands of people watching. But we don't really feel that.
4-hour marriage ceremony. Oh,
yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, they lock him in there. And I felt like they had to just do like a debate or something, like Lincoln Douglas style. Like, why is this a good reason? And so everyone just stands outside and sort of patiently waits for all that to happen. But her perspective, or rather her like point of view as it's being described, there's like, so you kind of hear the volume of the crowd turning up. And if this were being captured on camera, it would be artistic, and there'd be no dialogue probably, of like her going through the motions. But like at that moment when all those people there, but with George and with a book, we can just very humbly go through it, and then we can fill in all those details ourselves and go, wow, such a humble, you know, passage for such a mystical moment. And it's just funny how that sort of juxtaposes the mystical elements of Quaithe's prophecy at the whole, you know, the whole time. It's like, what does all this mean?
Right.
And we get that like little slight, we get a few hints just peppered in there. George wrote Daenerys thinking back to the location of the house with the red door. Mm-hmm. And there was also there's like a really sly little mention, like a reminder that Resnick is a seneschal.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, we get it. We know, but you know, just in case. And it doesn't even mean that that's that, or that a perfumed seneschal is even a perfumed seneschal.
Right.
It's the same thing that he's doing as an author when he says coverlets and then describes his long legs.
Yeah.
It's like he's giving us these sort of flavors through the words, you know? And it was just all these little sly little reminders. And then there's the direct mention of the house with the red door.
Right.
Of Dany, like, in the middle of all this that's happening, she has this, like, moment where she thinks back to the root of her being. So we know she's still there. You know what I mean? Like, that's the constant among all this chaos. That seems to be the earliest constant at this point, or at least what people consistently refer back to. Mm-hmm. So that was cool to get it connected. I know we're kind of all over the place right now, but that was cool to get it connected to Quentin visiting, like having that paperwork and having her think of that. Like, what an interesting thing to think about at an interesting time in her life.
It floods a lot of things back to her.
And exactly.
As you're talking about that, it kind of makes me think about just the role of prophecy and memory in Dany's life. And we look at somebody like Cersei, who's so driven by one prophecy that was given to her when she was a kid. and how that kind of essentially leads to her downfall and destruction. But here's Daenerys with the sun's son right in front of her, and she kind of maybe gives it a passing thought about not trusting the sun's son, and then that's that, you know? Mm-hmm. Or we are getting, as you're mentioning, these pretty obvious, I guess you could say, pieces of these different warnings and prophecies and visions and things that she's have happened to her, but they don't completely control or direct or ruin her life. Like, they're just a part of her greater...
What do you think that is?
Because she's got an okay head on her shoulders.
Just like her life versus the kind of life Cersei had.
Yeah, you know? She's not driven by what other people are trying to control about her. She's just going to run the show herself, kind of thing. I just think that's an interesting... As you were talking about that, it just made me really think about how different she is from somebody like Cersei Lannister, who would hear these... would hear that the glass candles are burning, soon comes the Pale Mare, and after the others, yada, 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 mm-hmm. yada. And then that would then be the rest of her life, trying to figure out, like, who the Mummer's Dragon is and who the perfume essential is, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it adds to the grandeur of who she is.
That's and so true.
What her destiny is essentially going to become.
So it's just better if you don't pay attention to it.
Well, it's like in a real way instead of a fake way.
Right.
Like Cersei.
Well, I guess it's so it's fake if you sort of try to take it by the horns then and manipulate it.
It's not fake, but it just doesn't really play into like the hero's journey like sure. it does for Daenerys, you sure. know?
What do you make of the black and bruised lips and the ice pants?
Some people, I mean, I don't know. I think when I think about the color blue, don't we see stuff about that with Jon? That's kind of what my initial thought is, because I just feel like every sort of
the blue rose.
Yeah. Every sort of major prophecy of like is leading her in that direction ish, sort of. Mm. And so I think that that's probably like fire and ice kind of situation mm. happening. I think I was, as I was scrolling through thinking about, I know that, I don't know, I don't want to get into it. I think it might, I think it's probably John is the simple answer.
Okay.
What do you think? What were your thoughts? Or reactions.
Well, it could be a number of things, right? Mm-hmm. It could be, it happened in a moment of like sort of speedy transition where it was from one scene to the next, and she's kind of like sleeping, like tossing and turning through it. Dario was like sort of turned and checked out, and presumably just in his own world, you know, like when he gets up and he puts his pants on, yeah. he's already leaving. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of that whole thing mm-hmm. in the middle of the night already.
Yeah.
And she was just on her own with her dreaming, and she had that sort of just quickness, but of intensity. That's an intense thing to have in your subconscious, you know what I mean? To float through your subconscious. And we're led to believe that all of this is meaningful. And so we look for patterns in it, and we can just assume that if it would be an easier answer, that it was like, not like a violent or really negative thing that yeah. it just meant to like portray John. And John is presumably in the books going to have a similar path as he has in the show. So he's going to be resurrected in some way
right.
that close to the wall. So is he more associated with the magic of the Green Seers, or is it with Red Rollower, or is it with the same sort of magic that governs the White Walkers? Is it all the same? You can like listen to basically every episode of our podcast yeah. prior to this one, and at some point we're going to talk about the merits of all that. If you've been listening with us for a long time, you probably know without us saying it, like where we fall as far as like what we think is going on with John and the technology of how that will all happen. So I think that knowing that would help. Obviously, it would help answer whatever this little moment is with Daenerys, and we'll probably have an answer to that maybe after this final season.
Maybe
if. It is.
If we don't already have an course. Answer to it.
Yes,
you
true.
Know? Like, if we don't That's already. True.
It could be the Night King. It could be Bran as the Night King.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if that hadn't happened in the show, would I think it's as explicitly Jon as I do in this moment?
What if the Night King takes Daenerys as a bride?
Wow, what if, though?
What if he does? He's like, and Daenerys is like, this guy, I mean, he's His got the best so posture strange. In the game. Seriously,
it really does it for her.
For real, think about it. Like, what if she's like, you know, John, you're really strong and a lot of people like you, but this dude is devastating. Yeah, yeah, slashing, I guess, but this dude is devastating.
Yeah, in every sense of the word.
In every sense of the word, you know what I mean? And he like tamed my dragon so quickly.
Yeah.
But so did John. So it's just, I guess like what it comes down to, Daenerys, and that's the point of this whole chapter, is what kind of love are you looking for? What do you want?
What kind of person does she want to be? But can she have that and also do the right thing? I don't know if there's not an answer to that question.
Well, so the right thing is, in the context of this, would be to limit the amount of suffering that everyone in the city is going through.
She's trying to do the right thing.
She is, but the litters are still cramming the streets, like the author says here.
And it's not going to get better.
And the litters aren't being carried by horses, because the Marine, that's not a... that they don't like the dirty streets. They like it to be clean. They prefer their slaves to carry them around. Yet that's still happening.
Right. Well, and then we see what... we will talk about what ends up eventually happening with Hisdar and all of that. So it's hard not to look at it from that lens as well and say, Dany's... is she making the right call? But... it's a very interesting question that many have grappled with.
I think it's the right call.
I think I just not think the right call is for her to run off and be with Dario.
Well, definitely not. But even just meeting all that, going out there and destroying him in the field, she just doesn't, as we can see, she doesn't really, it's not a long-term thing, this visit to Meereen. So maybe not make decisions. If we're thinking about this sort of morally and the kind of person that we all wish her to be, not the kind of victories we want her to have. Mm-hmm. She's not going to do something that puts people in harm's way just to like feed her ego.
Right.
She's not too personally attached with winning, you know, like, I settled this or I conquered this city. I'm going to hold it no matter what, you know, that doesn't seem to be her thing.
Right. That's not where her heart is, but anyway, that's that.
Daenerys 7.
What's your own of the chapter?
My own of the chapter.
I gotta scroll through and see. This is not my own, but one thing I want to mention while you're looking for your own, Sasha, I'm looking for mine, is more evidence in the secret Targaryen in the Lannister family camp with
the story
Tywin's wedding night and Aerys's liberties. There's not too much. I don't think that any of the Lannisters are secret Targaryen, so I don't want
to. I was gonna ask what you thought about that.
Yeah, so I don't want to talk about it because I don't think it's not something I'm interested in, nor do I think it's going to happen, but there's a little flag.
Interesting. Well, it's certainly ambiguous right now for us to think about. It'll probably still be ambiguous to the final book, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
That might be the kind of thing where there's some more hints in that direction.
For sure. Whew. What's your own? Did you find it?
Yeah, I'm going to give my own to Missandei for being 11 years old and knowing all the right ways to do stuff. And for also like saying that really funny thing to Daenerys when she was like, hey, are you okay? Are you unwell? I heard you screaming last night.
Yeah.
And then Daenerys was like, will Hisdar ever make me scream?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So good.
Just a little bit of that shining through, George.
I'm going to give my own to a lovesick Daenerys Targaryen who is thinking about Dario and how she says, I was dead and he brought me back to life. I was asleep and he woke me. And it's kind of sweet.
Never wake a sleeping dragon.
Yeah, true. Never wake a sleeping dragon. And also, I want to give my own to the piece of paper that Quentin brings.
Oh, yeah. That brittle, aged, faithful piece of paper.
And that's it. Those are our owns. Now it's time to read yours. I'll do the first one. First up, we've got Amanda Taylor on Twitter at So Cute Amanda, but SEW. Smart. He says, own to Danny for wanting to ride her silver to her wedding ceremony. And second own to Missandei for being a buzzkill bridesmaid and reminding Danny that you can't even pee by yourself in your wedding dress, let alone ride a horse.
Oh, yeah. You can't ride in that tow car. Probably not a good idea. Our next own comes from Heathen King, the King of Heathens. He writes, own to all people crisscrossing the world to get with Danny.
W-I-T, Danny.
Oh, sorry. Kraken
that changes everything.
Dark Flame, Lion and Griffin, the Sun's Son, and the Mummer's Dragon. Dot, dot, dot. Get a job, guys. She don't want none of you. Hashtag trust no one.
So funny. Next, we've got at Beauty Brienne, who says, own to Danny's wistful fawning over Dario, reminding me that she's still 15 with a terrible taste in men. Hashtag disinfect Dario 2K19. Oof. Who among us, you know?
Does anyone ever know until they know?
No.
Our last one from Raquelio Rindune Pirate Drag Queen fan account.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I got all that right. Owns to Quaithe for being as clear as mud, as youthful as nipples on a breastplate. That's cool.
That's so good.
Hey, thanks for sending in those tweets, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for sending in your owns.
That's cool. We have another one actually right now, 9 minutes ago, from John Besson on Twitter. I'm going to read it. Own to King Jaehaerys and his abolishment of the Lord's right to the first night cock blocking Aerys Targaryen at Tywin Lannister's wedding. Eesh.
Yikes. But also, yes, own to that.
Yeah, pretty funny. Also, that whole situation, you know, I know that we're going to have more episodes in the future where we're going to get into the potential scenarios and potential wrongdoing, misdeeds of our colorful cast of characters that have lived in Westeros since the time of Aegon's conquest, and maybe even far before, we shall see. But can you just, I mean, what a nasty scenario for Tywin.
Yes.
Or was it? Was he a part of it? Oh, or was it?
Stay tuned next week for right.
You can write your owns to us like John and everyone else did on Twitter by tweeting at Game of Owns. We're also on Instagram.
That we are. You can send us an email to contact@gameofowns.com.
That's a good place to send your owns as well.
And if you want to follow along on our reading order while we wait the final 6 weeks before this last season comes on, you can find the order at afeastwithdragons.com.
We plan on being back very soon because the new trailer will probably...
It's coming out probably tomorrow.
Read A Feast for Dragons in the meantime, or if you're rewatching The Throne, there's lots of stuff to enjoy, right? Remember the Thins. Sorry.
Anyway, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.